Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, sports Jamie Wall.
Kia ora. Good evening. How are you?
I'm just great. How are you?
Great. Great to be here.
Should we talk about betting?
Yeah, why not? It seems to be a pretty big issue in the world of sports right now.
Especially in America, right? So, like, yep. This is particularly pertinent in America, and maybe the baseline thing here is that for a long time, in most parts of America, you couldn't bet on sport or it was very difficult. And then about 6 years ago, the rules changed and the states were allowed to choose for themselves. And most of the states were like,
yeah,
ka-ching.
Give us some of that sweet gambling money.
Yes, essentially.
And it should be noted that that bit of law came in under Donald Trump's presidency, because one of his main election ways he got into be elected was to simply, whenever an issue like this would come up, he'd say, I'll let the states decide on it. And it's a fairly common tactic in American politics. And he kept his promise, I guess, because it's a way of basically not either being in favor or against something. He's doing it at the moment with something slightly more serious, with the abortion
indeed
thing. But it came in 2018, and since then we've seen a massive rise in online gambling across the US. Obviously, when stuff is online, it's very hard to police whether you're in a state or not anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's an industry at the moment that I think was worth something around like $200-250 billion.
Yeah, they took in $220 billion in the past year.
Yeah, yeah.
In bets.
Yeah. And what we're seeing, obviously, is a massive increase in just gambling on sports. American sport is obviously it is on all the time.
Yeah.
And we just saw March Madness, which for those people who don't know is the NCAA basketball tournament. Mm. There's both a men's and a women's division, 68 teams from both play. They call it March Madness because no one really knows what's going to happen because they're college teams playing from all over the country.
And college sports are massive in America.
Yes, and they were always massive about betting as well because of the way that it was really hard to predict who was going to win these college tournaments. Mm. And the big story this year was that the women's tournament, there's far more interest in that than the men's. Mm. For the first time, like, women's college basketball in America does still, you know, it always has had a reasonably decent following. But this year it completely took over.
Went nuts.
Absolutely nuts. Yeah. The final between Iowa and South Carolina.
Was it South Carolina? Continue.
Anyway.
Better than I would.
They outrated the men's, the highest ranking men's final, I think by something like 4 million viewers. So I think that there's a direct correlation between the sports betting and this happening, which raises this kind of interesting question about what the right way to promote women's sport is. Because for a long time now, we've seen this, I guess it being promoted as almost more of a social justice issue.
Right.
Which is about giving people an equal go, letting women participate in, you know, sports, giving them the sort of coverage they deserve. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. Mm. But what it's actually taken to get at this main issue is just cold hard cash. Mm. This is the most capitalist way of promoting something, which is like, it doesn't matter who's playing. It's why the same thing with horse racing and dog racing. It just has to be on all the time.
Mm.
And that's why March Madness worked out so well, because they had these basketball games.
A lot of basketball games, quite even.
Yeah.
Not everybody knows everything about all of the players.
Yeah.
The outcomes can be quite difficult to predict.
Mm.
and if you're in the if you are of a gambling bent, there's money to be made slash lost.
And it's already and you've already got a product that people get together and watch, and so it makes it easier to be gambling on it when you've got this conversation going on around you about who's going to do this, who's going to do that. So it's a really interesting scenario at the moment because it has taken a while to get to this point in America with the legalized sports betting, but I think now we're seeing the flow-on effects. I don't. It's just one of those things where market forces have just kind of made this happen with women's sport because it'll happen again next year. I don't doubt it at all. And I think that if we look at it from a New Zealand perspective, like, yeah, okay, there's a lot of differences here, right? Like, we only have one government-run or government-sanctioned betting organization here. So we can't go online and gamble. But even then, there's these massive gray areas at the moment around online betting. Like, we saw Brendan McCullum last year getting a bit of trouble for promoting some rando organization on YouTube every 5 seconds.
That's right, yeah.
And so even then, it's like that got in front of New Zealanders' eyeballs, even though it's technically illegal. So anyway, I look at the way, because we had the Super Rugby Opiki final over the weekend, we had the ANZ Netball Championship start over the weekend. Funnily enough, both at exactly the same time. But there's always this question of, like, how are we going to get people interested in women's sport? How are we going to get people to go along it? How are we going to get people to watch it on TV?
And the money side of women's sport as well, I suppose, is that, you know, the female athletes are often, you know, really underpaid compared to their male counterparts. A lot of sports organisations, not just women's sport, but a lot of women's sports organisations are in financial trouble. I suppose this could provide something of a panacea, or at least help out. But there is that sort of, I don't know, do you think it's fair to say there is that sort of inherent grubbiness?
Grubbiness. I was just about to say grubbiness. Yeah, I mean, because it is. It's one of those, it's kind of like the pokie machines, you know, at the pub, is that, yeah, you don't want them there, but then they'll always, the guy will always turn around and say, oh, yeah, but the money goes back into the community. It's like, you know, we give this money to the local rugby club or whoever. But especially for netball, because they've just been handed this shockingly bad broadcast deal.
Halving of the...
cut in half.
Like, they got RNZ really, understands, I think, yeah.
They got really lowballed on that. And, you know, their alternative is to put their product on free-to-air TV, which did really good things for cricket over the summer. But they're not going to make any money out of it. So how do you make money? How do you get it back? Because people forget that it wasn't that long ago back when the ANZ Championship was New Zealand and Australian teams playing netball against each other. Those players were paid pretty well.
Pretty well, yeah.
Pretty well. Like, not, you know, all black money, but nothing to be sniffed at the time. So I think that there's definitely an interesting conversation to be had about sort of the next phase of how we promote women's sport. We've moved out of this kind of like, hey, you need to give people a fair go kind of thing to, hey, how are we going to make some money out of this?
I mean, some people might disagree with your premise on this in the first place, you know, pointing to the NCAA tournament and say, nah, the thing that people were interested in there wasn't the gambling, it was Caitlin Clark.
Yes.
And it's heroes that are going to raise interest in women's sport, not gambling. But I suppose you're talking kind of more infrastructural stuff. Where does the money come from and how do you get broad foundational interest that isn't going to lapse?
I absolutely 100% agree with you that, like, she completely captured people's imagination. And for people who are listening who don't know, she's a star player for the Iowa team and is currently one of the most high-profile athletes in the United States right now, which means she's going to be very rich very soon. But I don't think she could have got to where she was without that interest being built up through the gambling market. It's not – I don't think it's all of it. But I think it definitely helped.
And speaking of gambling and America, probably the greatest, one of the greatest baseball players ever in the history of American-based baseball is in a bit of trouble for gambling stuff. Well,
yeah,
his translator's in trouble for gambling stuff.
Well, yeah. And when you say the greatest, you mean the greatest, like the highest paid ever. Cause
he is the highest paid.
This is Shohei Ohtani we're talking about.
Yeah.
Who's just signed with the Los Angeles Dodgers, something like $1 billion over the next 10 years.
Yeah, I think it's $700 million US over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just over
well over a billion New Zealand dollars. Yeah. And yeah, he has somehow lost $16 million over the last, was it 5 years or so? How do you lose that kind of money? Well, turns out his translator's a bit of a gambling fiend. Maybe he's been looking at the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. So, well, he must have, because I think I read somewhere that he was making something like 200 bets a day.
Yeah.
On, I don't know, everything from horse racing to two flies climbing up a wall. Mm. And the whole thing's very dodgy because, of course, Shohei Ohtani can't speak English and this guy's his translator. And so the only way you can actually talk to him about it is through another translator. Mm. And he's made it very clear he didn't really know what was going on and everything like that. But it is a pretty scandalous thing to have happened, especially considering that he is the guy that the Major League Baseball is going to try and uses the face of their product.
He's the future
For the next decade.
He's the future of baseball.
Yeah. I think this is kind of going to blow over because I've invested so much money in him that they're not going to let him go down in flames just yet.
There was another weird story. I don't know if you've upstayed on this one, but about what some bench warmer NBA player who's also been done for gambling.
Well, it's interesting you say that. I'm not across that one exactly, but when I was reading up about just how prevalent gambling is or sports betting is in US society at the moment, that they are finding a real problem with actual players getting caught betting not just on their own games but their own leagues and things like that. And it is because it hasn't been a thing that you were ever able to do before, at least not in Nevada, that you're finding just a whole lot of people getting caught out for rules they didn't really know existed.
They didn't realize existed, exactly. Yeah. And once you hear those rules, you know, you can't bet on your own team, even if you're not betting on yourself, or bet in your own league, then that seems quite obvious, but I guess, you know, teething issues. Yeah. Okay, and maybe finally tonight.
Come on. You know you want to talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
So did you watch the game on Friday?
The Crusaders.
Did you watch this?
No, I didn't.
Did you get a load of this?
No.
So you didn't see at the end when they blew it three times?
No, what happened?
Lost the game. Well, I feel a bit sorry for Rivers Reihana, who is the Crusaders' backup first five, because they scored a try to put them ahead 38-37 in a match against New South Wales Waratahs, who are a team that they should be beating any day of the week. And, well, poor Rivers didn't understand or didn't really get that if he just simply let the clock run out before he'd taken the conversion, then the game would be over. He took the conversion before the clock ran out. I kind of blame his captain, Tom Christie, for this. He should have been talking to the referee and telling him what to do. So it meant that the game restarted.
Yeah.
The Waratahs got the ball back, won a penalty. They kicked it to make it 40-all, which is a crazy scoreline, really. And the game went to Golden Point, and the Crusaders botched a line out on their own 22, handed the ball back to the Waratahs, who then calmly kicked a drop goal to win the game and I believe leave the Crusaders in 11th place on the table. So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I never thought I'd see the day that this happened.
How do you feel about it? Do you think it's going to last?
Wow, I hope so. As someone from Hurricanes country. I hope so. I think, though, this was supposed to be a nice run of games for the Crusaders. I think they got the Rebels and the Force and then, like, the Highlanders coming up. And it's like, if you guys can't win those games, you need to start firing people. Because how can you go from being seven-time defending champions to losing to the Waratahs twice in one season?
It's funny, isn't it? It reminds me a little bit, well, no, this is not fair, because it's only one season, but it reminds me a little bit of the downfall of Manchester United, which started in English Premier League football, which started many years ago, probably 7 or 8 years ago, with the retirement of Sir Alex Ferguson, and they fell so precipitously. And I kind of remember wondering at the time, will I ever feel sorry for them and hope that they get back to their peak glory days because, you know, they're an institution and an iconic club and so on and so forth? No, still enjoying their downfall as much as at any, if not more than ever at any point.
At least they've stretched it out over 10 years for you to enjoy. Yeah. This is crazy, though. This is like Manchester United dropping down the relegation area and won in less than half of the next season.
Mm.
Hey, how's Arsenal doing, by the way?
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that. Woke up at 3:30 this morning to...
Well, that was a waste of time, wasn't it?
These are the risks that you take. Jamie Wall, thank you.
Cheers, mate.
It's sports correspondent Jamie Wall there. Still a long way to go on the English Premier League season, by the way.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.